Well, as far as I can recall, there was one book assigned in middle school that I did not read. I loved reading. I figured out eventually that I loved reading, and I read thoroughly all the books, except there was one. Maybe you all know it. It is A Tale of Two Cities. You know that book? Yeah. It's a long book, right? Oh, my goodness. Such a long book. So I have to confess something to you today. I did not read it, and because I did not read it, but I still wanted to get a good grade. Uh-oh. I know, right? Yeah, here it is. I cheated on a test. And I learned from that experience that it is not worth it. I did not get caught, but I felt so much guilt over that I drove myself crazy. In fact, I felt so guilty about it that I had to read it years later. In fact, I read it years later and then I forgot, and I still had guilt that I hadn't read it, so then I tried to read it again, and then I realized, oh no, I did actually read this, right? I did catch up on it. And one of the reasons I got away with it was because we had one test, which I cheated on, and then there was one project, and it was based on the first sentence, right? You all remember the first sentence of A Tale of Two Cities? It's kind of epic, right? It is. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. And on it goes. Perhaps a fitting description for every time and place and person. We all live in two worlds and two states of being, hope and fear, sadness and joy. No moment is entirely one or the other. And so it was with the disciples. Their life with Jesus has been beyond their imagining, right? With healings and teachings and feeding and caring. Amazing, right? But it's also been incredibly disorienting and desperate, never certain where they would next lay their heads, never sure how long before Jesus would be taken from them and killed, as he himself has foretold. No, it is understandable that when they get this glimpse of perfection, of utter joy, of everything being right, that they want to stay in this moment, in this time of perfect clarity. Don't we all long for that? For our relationships to make sense with family and friends? Now, I know a few of you are remarkably at peace with your family. Everyone is good and kind and helpful. But more of you, I know your relationships to be complicated and fraught, that even when you want the same things as your loved ones, because I sometimes talk to your loved ones, there's so much baggage in the way of sharing, of achieving that shared goal. Many of us long for there to be a final end date to this pandemic pain. For everyone to be back among us, goodness, even today, here we are wishing that it could just be over. For masks to be but a memory. To say nothing of an end to cancer and addiction and diabetes and depression and dementia. Many of us long for God to speak directly to us and tell us what we're supposed to do with our lives, our time, and yet we, like the disciples, find ourselves so often uncomfortable with the uncertainty of it all. What do we do when life itself doesn't make sense? For the disciples, It means that they are drawn to this mountaintop, to stay here. Shoot, even after they speak their desire to stay here, the voice of God speaks from the cloud, declaring with unmistakable certainty, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so it cements their certainty. And yet Jesus does not take this as an invitation to stay, but rather a certainty of his mission and purpose. He has work to do. Yes. Some of you are busy people, right? I mean, I know this about you, right? You're busy people. I don't know how many times I've heard people joke about needing a teleportation device, right? Right? Like in Star Trek, right? To be virtually in two places at once, or even better, to joke about the need to bi-locate, you know, to be in two places at once. Well, this is what we, along with the disciples, are admonished to do by this day of transfiguration of our Lord. We are invited into the certainty and joy of this moment of clarity when Jesus shines with the brilliance of the certainty of belovedness, and to carry that with us into the hard work and challenges that come. We are invited to dive deep into the trouble of the world around us and to simultaneously delight in God's promises. In fact, this is what we do for all of Lent. All 40 days of Lent, we bare our souls, acknowledging our guilt, confessing our need for God's forgiveness, and every Sunday is still a little Easter. Remembering the joy and promise of resurrection and new life. It's like a funeral. Gosh, I feel like I've been to a lot of funerals lately. And it's so disorienting to be at a funeral because you are undeniably heartbroken about this person you so dearly love. And yet, you are simultaneously at joy. Shoot, you even find yourself laughing at the shared moments and stories of your life with that person. We dwell in both. Or a wedding, right? A wedding. Now, that should be all joyful, you think. I know. And yet, you know it, because there you delight in this couple promising to share their lives, to bear one another's burdens, but also, simultaneously, you cannot help but mourn. Mourn the change in how you relate to one or both of those people. Life will be different. And of course, you are called to the impossible task of loving your neighbor as yourself and simultaneously to receive God's grace in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and promised life in the midst of death, knowing that we would not achieve perfectly God's mission to love our neighbor. Today, we cling to the cross of Jesus. As we turn with Jesus and the disciples toward Jerusalem and toward that day of Good Friday, as we make our way towards the cross, we cling to it because our hardest moments are gifts that reshape us. We hold them hand in hand with joy. We live as complex individuals. And together, a complex body of Christ, bearing one another as God's beloved. In Jesus' name, amen.